This is the Tom Likas Show.
Everything you say is the fucking truth, man.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
There's no doubt about it. Tom
Likas. Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can listen to us on our brand new free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And saying hello to 2016, a brand new year of family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how's it going?
Hey, good evening, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Nice
I'm
to be great. Back at work in the studio.
I'll bet it is.
No doubt about it. So I just can't be gentle about this, Tom. Seriously. There's no way to cushion this or put some sugar on top. But I'm more convinced than ever that marriage is absolute prostitution. I know that sounds mean. I know, and I'd like to say that not everyone's like that or something like that, but I just can't. And if you heard News for Guys just now, there was this article in the English newspaper talking about how the first Monday of January is like the big rush or whatever. And now that it's upon us, it's really important to hear some of the cases and some of the stories that I've been hearing the past few days. You know, if marriage was really about love, the way women profess and the fairy tales that women talk about of finding their soulmate and all that, this waiting thing would be impossible. Essentially, the woman has decided that she wants out. And she decides this approximately October or November. But because of the holiday season, she's got to put a good face on it. And so she decides to wait until after the new year comes. And what's absolutely amazing is how they keep it together. I was just talking to a guy who literally the wife and him had sex. And the next morning she packed his lunch. They had a little breakfast together. She gave him a kiss goodbye. And when he came back in the afternoon, the house was emptied out. And she had moved out with the kids. And took everything, and I mean everything, including all of his stuff. He somehow got her on the phone and said, "What is going on?" And she said, "You know, don't you know you're so stupid? I've been miserable for a long time, and I wanted to wait until after the holidays." I just don't know. It's amazing.
So that means what a lot of people do. Also, you have a lot of women who say, you know, they start telling you in advance if they think the marriage is teetering on the brink. I've had a few of those.
Teetering, eh?
So what they do is they start coming to you like in July going, "I got your Christmas present."
Uh-huh.
To get you to stay. And then in some cases, they don't want to ruin their own holidays. So they stay through the holidays. And, but in my case, I stayed through the holidays because I don't want to ruin my own holiday.
I understand, but so, if the woman knows that she wants out, right? And she's made an appointment literally with the divorce lawyer for like January the 5th, okay, today. When she's with her husband during Thanksgiving and then Christmas season and Christmas, and they're with the kids and opening the presents under the tree and then kissing under the mistletoe on New Year's Eve, et cetera, right? She knows the whole time, even when she's with him, she's having sex with him, whatever, that she's pulling the ripcord. She's got an appointment with her lawyer on January the 5th. What kind of fraud is that? What kind of joke is all that time that she's with him until that point? I mean, that just makes the whole thing a joke. And when you see now where there's this big rush of women going for divorce now, it's just unbelievable. It's just too much. It's crazy. It really shows that it had very or little or nothing to do with love or any kind of relationship or any kind of real commitment. But it's actually very much what we talked about, Tom, which is, you know, strictly business. It really is. It's amazing. You know, and the worst qualities, all the worst things that you hear, you know, used to be more under the wraps and more sugar-coated. And now there's no shame. You know, we used to have women going to finishing school, and, you know, you try to say things in a gentle way, or the woman would just tell the man very, you know, like, I'm just not happy or whatever. Now she tells him right to his face, you know, you're a shit father, I hate you, you've got a little dick. I mean, no problem, no shame about it at all. I was in court yesterday, and this woman is doing everything she can to cut the father off, that's my client, to prevent him from seeing his kid, to make all kinds of trouble for him. And she's completely proud of herself. And I said to her, I said, you know, it's really ugly. You know, he's the father of your kid. 2 years ago, you were having unprotected sex with him, and now you hate his guts, and so you decided, like, just to cut him off. And she's like, I found a new man to be the father of the kid. Women think that, you know, children are like their pets. They're like dogs and cats, you know. You just get a new owner, you know, and you just say, hey, guess what? This is your father now, kid. And the kid is supposed to just accept that. And the natural father, whatever his story is, he's supposed to just go away, just pay child support and shut up and not, you know, try to be involved or not to care about his kid or whatever. Women always accuse men of that, that men are, you know, not interested or they're not good fathers, they don't care about their children. But then women make it very, very difficult for the man to be involved with his kids. And they do all kinds of really nasty things. And they don't even try to conceal it. And she said to me directly, she said to my face, that if he tries to get visitation, that she's going to say that he abused the kid. And I said to her, what is wrong with you? Why, you know, what does it matter with you? Why would you say that? It's so disgusting. And we went into the court, and she whipped out these pictures, which were like blurry. It wasn't even clear when they were taken, and it showed the kid's leg. We don't even know if it was this particular kid. It was like the leg of a child, and it was kind of red. And she said to the judge that that was evidence that he had hit the child and hurt the child. And ultimately, he denied it. She had no proof of it other than this picture, no corroboration. And the judge fell for it. The judge said, I have to err on the side of caution. So the judge is thinking, you know, he doesn't know if he has real proof, but it's been brought up. And obviously, you know, he has to be careful and he wants to be cautious. And there's no downside for the woman. The woman makes the allegation. It suits her purposes. And if it's found to be a lie, she suffers no consequences and no punishment whatsoever. So, I mean, if you have no disincentive to do something in that way and lots of incentive to do it, then the reality is you're going to do it. You know, I saw a movie over the holiday, Tom's, called Suffragette. Did you hear about this one?
No.
Yeah, it's a nice movie. It's from England. Just came out with Meryl Streep and some other nice actors going on. And it's about the fight in England for women to get the vote. And it's really, you know, kind of a sad but interesting kind of historical story. The people that they showed in the movie are based on real people. And basically, you know, women had very hard lives. And they wanted to improve their situations in life, and they thought that by getting the vote, that they'd have more of a say politically, and that makes perfect sense. And they thought that would improve women's lot in life. And so these women were, you know, literally doing acts of what we would call terrorism. They were putting bombs in houses and mailboxes and breaking glass of stores and doing protests and some Martin Luther King stuff, you know, like nonviolent resistance and so forth. But ultimately, you know, they were arrested, they go to jail, and this one woman in particular loses her son. She has a son. You know, they played the whole emotional side of it in the movie where she loves the kid and he loves her, and the cruel father takes the kid away from her, and how as a woman, you know, she had no rights. And it's certainly true that the law was very, very biased in that respect at one time. This was in 1912 in England against women. And so it's important, you know, that women got rights, and we certainly want people to have equal rights. But we see today that the pendulum has gone much too far the other way. So we went from a place where men controlled everything absolutely and women had no rights to a place today where it's supposed to be equality, but essentially in practice, women have all the power. And men are disenfranchised on a standard basis. You can go to family court any day and watch this happen. And it's not anything discriminatory. It's not like if it's a woman judge or something, it doesn't matter who the judge is. In the basic following of the law and following as the system functions and as it, you know, believes in itself to function, you know, men end up not getting custody. Women get custody 80 or 90% or more of the time. Men are backed into these situations where they're financially ruined. And a woman can sit there with a big smirk on her face and essentially exercise her nuclear option, where she says that the father is abusive or, God forbid, sexually abusive, and based on no evidence or very little evidence or anything that could be interpreted 100 different ways, the father will lose contact with his children for a very long time, if not permanently. And then she creates facts on the ground, and there's very little to do about it when she starts bringing a new man into the children's life and tells the children, this is your new dad, and I don't want you talking to the other guy and all that other stuff. And it really is a system that rewards vindictiveness. Now, I want to understand, when you talk about love and romance and even this thing that you talk about, Tom, which you said to be cynical or misogynistic, you know, that you have to have the woman have sex on, you know, by the third date, right? When you talk about these women that make sex like it's such a big deal, that it's so meaningful, it's such a big deal for them to have sex with a man, that a woman has decided to get a divorce back in October or November, and she stays with a man and continues the personal and sexual relationship where she has sex with him dozen or more times until January rolls around, and that's when she hits him with the paperwork, you know, to make the holiday season go okay. What was she doing during all those acts of sex, Tom? Wasn't that prostitution? I mean, what else?
I think she was thinking about the ex-boyfriend with the 14-inch dick.
I think she was thinking about the big check that she's going to get, is what I think. And she's thinking about her life when she's rid of this guy that she can't stand. But she has to do it a few more times to make it look good and to save face and to play the game. And it seems to me that she's being businesslike and cynical, and she's literally selling her body, is what I think. And if she wants to fantasize about the tennis pro, that's her business. But it just shows you how this thing that you've said so many times, Tom, where it's the official act of the Secretary of State that stamps the marriage certificate and sets up what's essentially a business partnership, that couldn't be more true. That couldn't be more true. You know,
I've always said that. I mean, forming a marriage is forming a corporation.
Of course.
People can't see that. But that's what it is, and by law, that's what it is.
Well, Gary was just saying to me, I was telling him the story of this woman that emptied out the apartment of all the property of the husband and hers and sold it all. And Gary said to me, you know, it seems so logical. Isn't that stealing? How could she do that? How could she? I mean, she could take her things, okay, but how could she take his things? And the answer is, of course she can take his things. That's community property. That's shared property. And if you guys are partners, then you own everything jointly. You know, I mean, if I'm your partner, Tom, I could start selling off the business equipment, right? I mean, it's ours together. Now you come back and you're horrified and you say, what the hell are you doing? But the bottom line is that she had every legal right to do that. And this is something that guys don't realize how deep in they are. And I really see how it crosses over. You know, I spend time with my married friends and they shrug. They say, well, it ain't great, but it's okay, you know? But the big surprise is still yet to come, because you don't know what's going on in the mind of that woman that you're with. And if you look at everything that society is telling her now, you know, if she goes home to her mother, or she goes to one of her sisters, or she talks to one of her girlfriends, or she picks up a magazine, and she says, you know, mom, girlfriend, whoever, I don't know, we have our ups and downs, I'm not that happy, you know? The mother tells her, fantastic, fantabulous, get a divorce. You're going to get lifetime spousal support. You're going to get the kids. You're going to get the house. And then you can find a man that really appreciates you.
Love that.
Right. I love that. You know, if you look at it the way men do, which is, you know, this kind of closed lens, this closed, narrow world, where, you know, it's very hard to find a woman that's willing to have sex. And when you find one, it means you're so lucky. It's such a magical thing that you've accomplished. And you have to treat her with respect, and you have to shower her with gifts to convince her, you know, to let you do this horrible thing that she doesn't want to do. And on the other hand, the way women look at it, which is that if they can only get away from this asshole husband of theirs, there's this bonanza out there. There are these rich, exciting men who are going to shower them with gifts. I mean, why would a woman say no to that? Seriously, why would a woman stay with her good-for-nothing husband when she has so many possibilities waiting for her just a minute away if she pulls the trigger? And if you look at it in that sense, you know, it's a terrible analogy, but it's absolutely correct. You know, I love eBay, and the great thing about eBay is you put stuff on, and then you sit there with your listing, and you watch the price go up. And basically, people nationwide and worldwide are bidding on your item. And you can actually see it. And eBay even has a whole statistical thing they do now where they talk about averages, which they calculate, you know, what's the average of so-and-so phone, and what's the current pricing, and what's the range. So, in other words, what is your auction likely to hit? And I can't see how it's any different, that a woman sits and puts herself out there and says, you know, how rich of a man can I attract? How high can I go? And that's even in the vocabulary of women, where a woman will say to one of her friends, John's a nice guy, but you can do so much better. Honey, you can do so much better than him. And what she's literally saying, better, richer, taller, better. That's it. So when you look at this 2016 and this particular month, you know, you go to, I mean, guys should see this. I go to the family court, and the line for new filings is out the door. Okay. And my phone and every divorce lawyer's phone is ringing off the hook. And it's like, oh, I can't stand another minute. I waited as long as I could. I promised myself, you know, people make these New Year's resolutions or whatever, you know, what they're going to do in the new year. And women have at the top of their list, you know, get rid of their good-for-nothing husband. And the guys call me, and I got to say, I'm sad about all these guys that are pussies, that are raised by single mothers, that don't have any understanding and ability to stand up for themselves. When they tell me that the woman is telling them she wants out, or she filed papers, or she served them with a restraining order, and they are caught 100% by surprise, that they had no idea at all that anything was wrong. They had no clue. I mean, literally like the one I said, where she literally packed his lunch, made breakfast, and gave him a kiss goodbye to work. And he comes back, and she's been at the house with a moving truck and took everything. And he is like, it just dumbfounded, okay? And every guy who's out there who thinks that he's in a good marriage, you just wait for the 10-year mark. You just wait for New Year's to pass. That your lovely little darling has been thinking about this all the time, and she has just been waiting for the right moment when she was finally ready, or she felt she was strong enough, or she had enough put aside, or she had gathered the information that she feels that she needs, that she is going to pull the trigger and fuck you like you never got screwed before. Going to just absolutely change your life. And the guys are always completely unawares, completely unprepared. It's a joke. And, you know, this is supposed to be this heavy, confusing, cynical thing. It's not. If you look at it now, I've been reading articles where women are arguing about where is the best place to get a divorce. Should you file it in California? Should you file it in London? Are you going to get more money if you file it in Florida, or if you have a summer home in Colorado? So they're not even talking about whether you should file a divorce. Of course you're supposed to. It's a question of how to get yourself the optimum deal and how to screw the guy the worst. Now, you look at what's in the news now. Madonna is fighting with her ex-husband over their teenage son or whatever. And it's, should they file it in New York or should they file it in London? And which is going to be more favorable to the woman? And it's just such a joke. It's such an insult. And you talk about a young guy who's, you know, got a girlfriend or whatever. You're thinking about it. She wants a commitment, blah, blah, blah. All I can say is you got to be out of your mind. never more so today than before. It is absolutely stronger and stronger and stronger. And in fact, it's getting even more intense. Let me give you a small example. Tom, you're going to love this. In merry old England, they just passed a law. This is in the LA Times today. I put this on my Facebook for those of you who want to check it out. In England, they passed a law today that domestic violence includes emotional cruelty. Okay? So it used to be, we're talking about from a criminal law point of view, okay, aside from in the divorce and restraining orders and all that good stuff, if a man used to have to either make a threat of violence, which is in America, in California, called a terrorist threat, which is a threat of, you know, I'm going to kill you or something like that, or actual violence where the man strikes the woman or whatever, okay. And I, and by the way, I'm saying the man because, you know, we all know technically this could go the other way. But when a woman strikes a man, that's always A-OK. Just watch television. You see it all the time. It's no big deal. In fact, I was watching the cartoon. What's the Pixar one with the little mouse that cooks? He's a chef in France.
No, that wasn't Pixar, was it? That, yeah.
What's that
it was
called?
A French word.
Ratatouille. Mike, thank you again. Ratatouille. And I don't know if you know this, but the girl, there's a girl who also helps him. And in the movie, he slaps her. I'm sorry, excuse me. She slaps him across the face two or three different times to like snap him out of things. And I mean, that's watched by children. It's okay to hit a man. Of course it is. It's bad only when a man hits a woman. But in any case, in England now, you don't have to hit her. You don't have to threaten her. If you treat her bad emotionally, okay? So in other words, if you insult her or you hurt her feelings, that can land you 5 years in jail. What did I say, Gary? How many years? 5 years. Can you believe that, Tom? That's not a joke.
Well, but not only was I not going to get married, but if I ever did, the United Kingdom would not be the place I would do it.
Well, you know that the Western countries tend to follow each other's principles. And so when you see this kind of stuff going on in England, this is going to be something that sooner or later is going to make its way to the United States and to other countries. And this is a trend now. When they talk in the universities now, they refer to microaggressions. They're saying now at universities they want to change sexual assault to what they call like sexual harassment to rubbing someone's shoulders. So if some guy is at a party or something and starts rubbing a girl's shoulders, like, you know, I've seen people do this, right? Kind of come behind her and rub her shoulders. She could press charges and have him discharged from the university and expelled.
Jesus
Christ. Okay.
Oh,
and so then we talk about microaggressions, right? Where it's these little things, these little hurtful things, or these expressions that on small levels that hurt a person. And then we talk about all the other stuff that goes under the categories of, you know, discrimination and sexual assault and sexual discrimination. And, you know, even when the guy's found innocent, the woman still walks around with a mattress for 2 years saying that he did rape her, you know. The bottom line is that if we're going to say that a man can sexually or personally assault a woman or commit an aggression against her or violence against her that only is hurtful to her, which is subjective in how she feels, so she's got very tender sensibilities, and in a fit of anger, he told her that she was a cunt, okay, that he can get 5 years for that? That's pretty
impressive. Even if she is a cunt?
And I guess that would be the defense. Maybe if you could prove that she is, then you don't get the 5 years. But
truth is a defense.
I don't know. Maybe not in this case. It really seems to me that men are meant to lose, you know? And I always think back about the politicians. We're going to have this big run-up this year, obviously, this year being an election year for the presidency. I remember all the politicians years ago, the Bushes especially, ranting on about family values and strengthening the American family. And if you're going to have family values and strengthen the American family, then you've got to make it possible for guys to want to be in families. And if guys know that this is a very bad deal, And guys know that this is something that is going to make them suffer and make them lose everything, and that women have all the rights to go batshit and do any kind of claim that they want, and no one ever calls them on anything, then that is a major disincentive to get married. And people do follow incentives and disincentives. And if they want to see the family stronger and they believe in Christian values of people being together or people getting married and people living together as married couples and having children and families with stability, then they've got to make it a more attractive thing for men. And if anything, every single trend, and that's why I mentioned this England thing, is just the opposite, to make it worse and worse and worse for men. And I mean, there's going to reach a point, you know, we've got these very inexpensive cameras now, and there are cameras everywhere, and everyone has a phone camera. You're going to have to set up a camera to film your sexual encounter with a woman, okay, so that when she later on claims that it's rape, which she has every right to do a million different ways till Tuesday, then you're going to have a video that you can show the court to show that she consented. And you're going to have an expert sit there and watch the video with you and the jury to try to analyze whether the consent was meaningful or not. Okay? And if this is how the sexes are going to interact, you're not going to have a lot of healthy, happy families, I don't think.
Well, you see why virtual reality porn is so popular. You see why guys don't want to commit, don't want to move in. You know, the stuff I've been advocating for years is actually coming to fruition.
Well, there is a sad aspect in a way, Tom. I mean,
first time in the history of the United States, there are more unmarried adults than married.
Absolutely.
The average age of their first marriage is now 28, the oldest it's ever been.
Well, I can't believe guys are getting married at 28 or anything else. I mean, if you look at Japan, for example, you know, they have these herbivore men who aren't getting married. And like you said, porn is really good quality. It's almost free or very inexpensive. It's highly readily available, right? Porn is so available on the internet that Playboy isn't going to even publish naked pictures anymore, right? And no matter how specific your fetish is, you can get it easily online. In Japan, people buy these dolls, Tom, that are ultra-realistic. They're made out of these very high-quality plastics or whatever you wouldn't believe. And these guys live with their mothers. They don't move out. They never really, like, start their lives. They never get a job. And they're living in their late 20s and early 30s with their doll, that's their girlfriend, getting drunk every night and watching porn. And that's it. No interest in doing anything else. And if you look at the, you know, what they call the millennial slackers, how is it any different for them? Seriously. What motivates them to get themselves into debt, to get a mortgage, to deal with all the BS that our fathers and grandfathers had to put up with? And instead of making it better in some way, you can see how, if anything, the laws are all worser and more ridiculous and more strict. And you see the result of it. The coldness. I wish the guys could see this. You have to witness it. Or I'm talking to this woman, and she has the eyes of a snake. And she's telling me how she's going to make sure that the father, my client, never sees his kid. And she's got no shame about it. She doesn't think twice about it. Her mind is made up, and she's as cold as ice. And she's saying that if necessary, she's going to lie, perjure herself, claim that he's an abuser, which he's not, claim that he sexually abused the child. She's going to do whatever she needs to do to make her agenda work. And it's absolutely 100% calculated with absolute cruelty. And by the way, she's sitting with the guy that she thinks is going to be the stepfather of the kid. And by the way, she'll fuck him over too. I said it to him, by the way. I said, she's going to do this to you someday, pal. You're sitting here now and she loves you and everyone's happy. But when she's sick of you, this is what she does. She's going to do this to you next. And she's going to screw you with your kids. And he says to me, "Oh, no, that'll never happen to me, man." I love that. That's my favorite.
That's what we all say.
Yeah. She loves me.
I'm in love. She's not like the other ones.
Yeah, I've got the special dick. She's never going to do it to me. She may have done it to him, but, you know, she learned. She knows. She knows not to do this to me because we have a special connection. Well, good luck with that, my friends. And if you already are, I got a couple of guys, by the way, Tom, and I've been doing the show with you for a long time. I got a couple of guys who called me a few years ago, P1s, that were right at the 8 and 9 year mark, and they didn't get divorced. And now they're at the 11-year mark, and they want a divorce, and they're going to be paying lifetime alimony. And I tell them, you're out of your mind. I talked to you 2 years ago. I told you. And they say, well, I thought things would get better. I thought things would change. I thought she would change. And if anything...
Things never get better.
It's not a joke.
This is one of the basics of Likas 101. Yeah, the way it is today is the best it's going to be going forward. So if you think it needs to get better, give up now.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke. So God help them all, Tom. Guys, I don't know what you're doing, whatever the story is. There's a world of women out there. And if you're behind this, if you're squished by this, if this is crushing you, you got to go. You got to find the courage. I get so many guys who call me and tell me, I know I should, I know I have to, but I'm afraid, or my mother's going to be upset, or I can't face it, or I think, like you say, things will get better. And it's a tragedy. Life is short. It doesn't go on forever and ever. And I got a lot of friends now my age, you know, 40s and 50s, guys I knew in college and stuff, that were full of creativity and full of ideas and full of energy. And now they are beaten dogs. Beaten dogs. I mean,
that's right.
Beaten down, humiliated. They just don't have any heart to fight anymore. They say, yeah, you know, my wife's okay. You know, we don't have sex anymore. We're like friends, you know? And I go, that's great. That's great. You know, she quit working as soon as they got married, you know? And
that's
these guys are slaving away. And the woman doesn't even have the humanity to show the guy a little love or affection or to cook for him or to, you know, be kind in any way. She's entitled. She feels that everything's coming to her. And she's walking around, you know, hey, move this. Get this out of here. What the hell's this? Clean this up. Like some kind of fucking drill instructor, you know? And these guys, you see, their faces are droopy, you know? They have that sadness, Tom. It's sad.
Yeah.
Life is too short. Life
like
is much
beaten
too
dogs.
Short for that. Yeah, beaten dogs. The only other
word
for it. So don't be one yourself, my friends.
Exactly. Let's take a break here, Adam, and let's take some phone calls.
All right.
This is our bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs. You've got questions. Here's free legal advice for you if you're separated, you're getting a divorce, you're dealing with child custody issues, child support issues, a prenuptial agreement, a postnuptial agreement, maybe even a restraining order. This is where you get the legal questions answered right now. And all you have to do is call this number, 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now, 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour. The family law attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866. Don't forget, those of you who've been looking for Tom Likas Show merchandise, Gary and Dino merchandise, any new normal merchandise, we've got an online store right now, and it is fucking great. But you won't know how great it is until you go look at it. So go look at it. It's P1Store.com. You go to P as in Peter, the number one. P1Store.com. See the caps, see the t-shirts, and coming soon, lots of new things. Just keep an eye open at P1Store.com. All right, your calls, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number to talk to Adam. Here is Richard in Los Angeles. Richard, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Father. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Richard. What's going on?
Hey. So I am considering filing for divorce. However, I'm very hesitant that if I do, my wife is going to retaliate and try to do something because 6 months ago, I kicked her out of the apartment and she filed a restraining order with, like, false domestic charges.
Nice.
And I lost the case. So I feel
What do you mean you lost the case?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Basically, I got served with a restraining order and went through, and the judge basically granted a 18-month no contact order.
So
conditions of.
By the way, did you have a lawyer?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. I actually went through two and didn't work at all.
Okay. So you lost, and you actually have a restraining order against you now?
Yes.
So what more could she possibly do to you? I mean, of course you have to file for a divorce. What's your alternative exactly? What are you waiting for?
For her to file, but I think if she were to file right now.
Do you understand?
I
understand. I'm not trying to hurt you, okay? It's really important that the guys hear what you're saying. You know, I'm trying to be optimistic about life, okay? If you are married to a woman, you have a family, I guess, you know, if there's any hope of reconciliation, of getting back together, you ought to go to therapy and try to do it, okay? But let's face it, if she filed a restraining order against you, and whatever happened, you had a bad lawyer, whatever, it ended up being issued against you, then you haven't talked to her in 18 months, okay, right?
Right.
Or it's already been a while. So, I mean, the advantage is to the person who files first. So you're waiting for her to do it. You don't want to do it until she does it. But if she does it, she's going to do it, and she's going to get the attack on you. It's obviously inevitable at this point. It's going to happen because you already have this horrible blow-up with the restraining order. So it's not like you guys are going to get back together. So why would you sit on it? Seriously.
It's fear. I'm really actually really afraid because I feel that if I were to do it first, she could try to do something because
What worse honestly, can she do that she's already done?
I don't know. I think she would probably, you know, just drag it out in court even more.
I understand. But what are you saying? You're afraid to make her angry? I mean, she's already filed a restraining order against you. That's already like a very extreme thing to do. That takes away your right to own a weapon. That's going to be something that could hurt you or your occupation. I don't know what you do for a job, but that's a very bad thing to have on your record and so forth. And in most instances, I mean, so you're saying like your marriage is over, but you don't want to make her angry? I mean, what kind of craziness
is
that?
It does sound ridiculous, but like after what she pulled, it's that.
So you prefer to stay married to her?
No. But it's like I'm almost at a standstill, you know, like she already did everything.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. You're essentially a deer in the headlights, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You're sort of standing there like, what do I do? Okay.
Right.
Well, the reality is you've got to not let your life just be a tsunami washing over you. You have to protect yourself. You have to think about your future. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another, you need to rid yourself of this woman. I mean, if you're still married, there are all kinds of things that you could be responsible for that you have to deal with. And plus, in terms of moving on with your own life, you know, don't you want to continue on and have other relationships and do other things? I mean, you know, you can't have this marriage. It's idiotic at this point. And if she's too stupid to take care of it, then you have to take care of it. I have guys call me that tell me, you know, that they haven't seen their wife in 12 years. And they just never took care of the paperwork. And it's like, what are you kidding? What if she gets hospitalized and she ends up running up a bill for open heart surgery and the hospital tries to come after you for paying it?
Actually, I mean, that's the thing with the restraint order. The judge said that I'm still legally obligated to provide insurance for her.
I understand. You want to do that forevermore?
No. That's the thing. Would that carry over if I file for divorce, or could it be in my favor?
Well, the whole point of filing for the divorce is cutting your ties with her.
Okay.
You can't be in this treading water kind of thing. If this is
to retaliate, right?
Of course she can. Who knows? Who cares? You can't be thinking about her anymore. Okay?
Yeah,
her reaction isn't that important. If she's a big enough bitch to get a restraining order against
you. I just don't want it to affect me, you know, directly.
I understand.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is it's really important that you take charge of your own life and start making your decisions to move forward without her, okay?
Okay.
She's obviously a cancer for you. She's been something that has harmed you. And if you had any good times, then that's good memories. But I don't know if you've got some kind of religious thing holding you back or some personal thing. But if it's really extreme, then you've got to talk to someone because you should not want to be married to her anymore. And you can't tell me that you're your fear of her, your fear of some magical thing that she's going to do to you. You get yourself a proper lawyer and you get rid of the bitch. That's the whole point.
Right. Okay.
When I talk to guys, like I said, 12 years later, they're still married to the woman. It's like, what are you doing?
That's insane.
Yeah,
that's
well,
insane.
Aren't you doing the same insane thing?
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm pretty sure I won't prolong it 12 years.
No, I know. So it's just a question of degree. You've been doing it for a year and a half. That's not insane, but 12 years is insane. Yeah, let me tell you something. If a woman files a restraining order against me, I'm filing a divorce against her. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit around and try to figure it out for her. Okay, and I'm not afraid anymore of what she's going to do to me. She's already done the worst. Okay?
Okay.
So there's no love kissy-kissy in friendship. Okay?
You
should be done with her, get rid of her, stop paying her insurance, and not have to deal with her anymore. Wash your hands of her. That's the story. Write it off as an experience, you know? A bad experience.
Right.
But I talk to too many guys that have this imagination of like, oh, I can't do it. I don't want to hurt her feelings. I don't want her to be angry.
Oh, no, it's not about her feelings.
No, guys, tell me if I file, if you file the papers, it's going to really hurt her feelings. I mean, what are you kidding?
No.
Her feelings? What
oh
happened,
God,
dude?
No
Come
way.
On. Get Find your balls.
Right.
Let's go.
Exactly. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Of course.
Thank you,
Tom.
For
what am I talking about here, Tom? Come on.
What are you talking? What do you mean? What are you talking?
What's happened to men? This poor guy.
Well, that's what I've been all. I'm, you know, again, these guys get in and they're afraid to get out. It's like the Roach Motel.
But Tom, he's already out.
Roaches check in and they can't check out.
Tom, she's already done the worst. She filed a restraining order and got it.
Understood.
Apparently.
So fucking bitch,
get rid of her. Sue her for divorce.
But
he's
but
afraid.
Obviously, you know, again, this guy's a pussy.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to be kind
to
him,
pussy.
Okay? I don't want to call him a bad name, okay?
Well, you know what? I'm not kind to people. I tell the truth.
Okay.
That guy is a pussy.
Okay, I want him to, after a year and a half of thinking about it, to pull the trigger and get rid of her, okay? And I don't want to hear from him in 10 years, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure if I should, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. I got lots of guys call me after unbelievably long amounts of time. That I don't even know where to serve the woman. They don't even know where she lives anymore. They haven't talked to her in 15 years.
You know, people give me shit about being divorced four times. Adam, the bottom line is, I cut my losses.
Yes.
The minute I know this is gonna keep getting worse,
see you later.
I'm out the door. I don't waste
Damn
my
right.
time.
Damn right. Look at Elon Musk divorcing a woman and then marrying her again. How about that?
And then divorcing her again. I mean, come on.
Come on, man. Once, that's the max. Sorry. You're not coming back for seconds.
As I always say, I don't press the rewind button.
Yeah, well, you should have told him. Anyways, God
again,
said.
You know, he obviously is, his head is so buried so far in the sand, it'll never come out.
I don't know. If you know, restraining order is such an awful thing. It's so humiliating. And these guys that lose or whatever, and he got, what, for 2 years or a year and a half or whatever, I would have served her right there in the courthouse. I would have said, you fucking bitch, you got the nerve to do this to me. I am suing you for divorce. And she's saying, oh, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that. I say, go ahead. I'm not afraid anymore. You've done everything you can. And he's sitting there saying, well, I still don't know if I should. I'm waiting for her to do it. What's that about? He's waiting for her to do it? That's amazing.
Yeah,
to me. I don't know to say about that.
Yeah. I agree. But there you go. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with Adam Saxon, this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. This is free legal advice from family law attorney Adam Saxon. All you have to do is call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. And Adam, coming up next, we're going to hear from a guy who was married for 31 years, and now his wife filed on him and took the furniture.
Oh, the furniture. That's nice. That's awfully sweet.
Took the furniture.
Thanks, honey.
He had no idea this was coming.
Yeah, 31
years. It's coming up. It's coming up next.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show at 901-3000-TOM. Bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
You can call me toll-free, 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Okay. Let's go to our caller. Let's say hi here to Mark in Blaine, Washington. Mark, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tom? You're not my son, but
I'm doing great.
I'm not your
how about
son,
you?
But I'm your fellow brother because we're about the same age, man. Saw you in Seattle many years ago and Vancouver, BC too. So, yeah, I've been watching you, following you for many years.
Fabulous! Thank you so
Very
much.
Very nice.
Yeah, Adam, what you said tonight, I had to call in because, man, you just usually every time you do, but tonight, man, you just hit the nail on the head. I tell you,
really,
31 years of marriage and
31 years
came home
that's
after.
Incredible, man. That's,
yeah,
a,
man,
that's a lifetime.
It is. It is. It's a big chunk of my life. You better believe it.
So let me ask you this.
And,
so 31 years.
Yeah.
You had your ups and downs. I mean, was it mostly okay?
No. There was definitely problems. Right after the first child, which we only had one, it was more born, and it was basically cut off from then. Yeah.
And when was the? Yeah. When was that? How far in was the child born?
Oh, that was 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 21.
So you're married about 10 years, yeah, and then you had a kid.
Yeah, about there. Yep.
Okay. And yep. Something with furniture now?
Oh, she took whatever. Like I said, I came home and she took all the furniture that she liked and which I liked and left all the junk and whatever else is in the house type of thing she didn't want. But I'm just telling you, man, guys, my fellow brother, men out there, I tell you, I don't know. I don't know what to do because, you know, us guys want to look after our families and take care of them. And, you know, I worked every day. I never missed a day of work type thing. And it's really hard. Now she wants to alimony or maintenance for the next till I'm 65, man. And I tell you, that's friggin' hard.
Really, well, I mean, you got to be really careful. I mean, if you've had this long marriage, I don't know exactly what the finances are, but it could go well beyond 65. She can get, you know, spousal support for life.
It'll be 65 because that's retirement. Yeah, 65 would be retirement. But that's where it is, you know. So, you know, 9.5, 10 years I got to pay her. And it's not finalized, but...
Did you have any indication that she was unhappy? Did she talk to you? She just suddenly did this?
Nope. Yep. Just like you said, she's planning. And
she was planning
so good that,
to herself. You didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Years before. Yeah, because
right.
she even has a brand new apartment with, you know, that I didn't even know about from inheritance and all kinds of money. She has more money than I have. Oh, yeah. It's huge. And I can't touch it. It's
yeah,
not
it's inherited,
in it.
I suppose. Yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, so she had this apartment. She was kind of setting herself up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
it's all paying rent and all that kind of stuff.
You understand what I was talking about? I'm trying to understand the mind of a woman who's making her exit plan, but stays with the guy for a few more years. It's like, how could she possibly do that? How could she prostitute herself like that and you know, put the smile on and pretend everything's okay?
Yeah.
And then, you know, have this kind of thing going on. And then instead of talking about it like a human being, you know, if you and I were business partners, we'd say, look, maybe this partnership isn't working out. Let's make a plan what we're going to do. A woman takes some kind of pleasure and pride in doing it in a way that's really hurtful and humiliating. You know, Tom used to say a woman will, you know, have something against you and she'll wait to say it to you in the way that she can say it as hurtfully as possible, you know? And it's like, here's, instead of, you know, breaking it to you and being kind about it and saying, look, we both know it's not working. Let's try to, you know, shake hands and split up our stuff and, you know, do this in a human way. A woman on some level wants to do it in a way that's vicious and really hurtful and really painful and humiliating to her husband who she supposedly loved, you know, or loves or whatever for a long time.
I'm saying the guys get screwed left and right. They really do. And I'm just so glad I don't have small children involved here. Holy smokes.
But you spend a lifetime
with
her, you know?
Unreal. Yeah.
It's
but
amazing.
She's walked away from her only child, and the one that is connected is only me. You know, she doesn't have no contact even with her own child.
I'm amazed by that. And women supposedly put their kids first, and they'll cut them off. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
heartless,
they haven't
very
talked
heartless.
For 6 months, man. It's just unreal.
No.
So I don't know. I just, you know, you hit a lot of buttons there, and I just had to phone in, and I've been Tom Likas, a listener, and his shows wherever he comes around here. I'm up in my country.
We really
and,
appreciate
area.
It. I just want to say, you know, whatever it is, I want you to know, one second, I want you to know that there's a whole world out there, okay?
Yeah.
And I know she
was
the center of your universe for a long time.
Well, let me tell you something. It is really hard on guys, let me tell you. Because I swear, all us guys, all we want to do is look after our family and kids and wives. You know, that's the way, just something in our system. We cannot be out of work. You know what I mean? If we're unemployed or don't have, we are, that's just the way we're born, to look after our family. And I tell you, it's huge. And when you have to look after somebody for the next 9-10 years that hates you, doesn't love you, holy smokes, and you find out they're being treacherous behind you, it's very hard. So, there's a lot of that stuff going on.
Men have got to overcome that instinct. That instinct doesn't work anymore.
No, I know.
It's certainly not appreciated. I mean, you're being decent to this woman all those years, and it obviously didn't mean a thing to her. She could walk and turn her back on it in 1 second.
No, all she wants is just the money, you know, now and whatever pensions I get in future, too. So it's just amazing. So, Tom, I know you've been married multiple times, but and us guys, that's what we want. We want to be with someone, you know. And I tell you, it just doesn't work.
There is no security, Mark. Yeah. That's what I've been trying to tell guys forever.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as security, not with a woman.
No, that's right.
Not with a job. The only security you have is within. And forget about depending on other people or companies or bosses or anybody to provide you with security. You can only provide it to yourself.
Yeah, but you know what? It's how many years it took me to figure that one out after you get like this, you know?
I've been telling you this for as many years as you've been listening. I'm amazed that you're so surprised.
Well, I'm not surprised, but the thing is, Tom, when you're in a marriage, you try to do your best to stick with it. That, to me, that's the way I've been raised.
Guess what, though? In today's world, Mark, you don't stick with something. It's like I tell the story about the guy you see hitting himself in the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
And you go up to the guy and you say, why are you hitting yourself with a hammer? And he says, well, I've been doing it for 10 years, so it just seemed like the right thing to do, and you keep doing it.
Tom.
You know, when it's the wrong thing to do, you cut your losses.
Tom, after 20, 21 years in this state here, it doesn't make any difference because they're still going to do the same thing they're doing at 31.
But that's not
basically
the point, Mark. It's not. That's I understand that from a legal point of view that's the case, but what about your life? Wait. What about your life?
Oh, no.
What about all the years you could have been doing other things with your life?
Oh, well, yeah, but the thing is, but 20 years ago,
you don't care about that?
I wasn't in that position. Oh, I know what you're saying. I know. But you're not in that position 20 years ago. I wasn't in that position to say, hey, I got to walk away. You know? Now when the
What do you mean you weren't in the position? Wait. What do you mean you weren't in the position? What do you mean by that?
Well, because you still got your child around here, and you want to do the best as a couple to look after your child.
But once you know that's not working out, you have to cut your losses.
Well, I'm not cutting my losses when the kid's 10 years old. I'm not walking out on my kid.
Well, guess what? She's cutting hers, and she's taking your money.
Well, I know, but I'm still saying at 20, 21 years of marriage, if I walked out then when the kid was 10 or whatever, it would be the same position I am now. It wouldn't make no difference.
How old is your kid now?
So you're screwed. Well, she's 20, 21. So what I'm saying is I'm screwed no matter what.
You should have been out 3 years ago.
No, it wouldn't make no difference. No, because 3 years ago, that's 27.
I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your life, Mark.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying, Tom, but the thing is it wouldn't make any difference. Legally wise, I would.
I'm not talking. I'm hitting my head with the hammer again. I'm not talking about legally, and I'm not talking about money. How old are you? You're about my age, about 58, 59.
Yep.
Well, how old are you? Okay.
You betcha.
You've been wasting these last 3 years just waiting with a big target on your back.
Hey, you know what
this could have been? You could have been getting back out dating. You could have been. You could have moved to another place. You could have gotten another job. You could have had fun these last 3 years.
I don't need another. No, Tom, it's not. I don't need another job. You know, I love where I live.
Whatever. The point is, fine, but you could have moved out. You could have gotten moved on with your life. By now, you would have adjusted. By now, you would be having more fun, enjoying yourself more, not miserable. And by the way, legally. Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, had you been the proactive one, had you filed, probably would have done better in the end.
No fault here in the state. It doesn't make any difference who does files whatever in the state. So you're wrong there. Wrong. And wouldn't make a difference if it's 3 years or
you,
now.
So you're happy. Let me understand, Mark. You are happy about the last 3 years when your daughter was of legal age. You've been happy staying there in the fraud of a marriage. Is that right?
Happy? No. I've never been happy for many years.
Why would you stay any longer than you have to?
Yeah, they say, you know, that song, come on, play it. It's better to keep her than it is to get rid of her type of thing, you know?
No, but it isn't.
Much higher.
It isn't. Yeah. You know what? The guy who wrote the song Cheaper to Keep Her was sung by Johnny Taylor, by the way.
Yeah,
guess what?
It's
that guy is not a lawyer, son. He's not.
Well, I can tell you right now.
Hey, Adam, is it cheaper to keep her?
Let me tell you.
It's absolutely not. And I understand he's trying to, I understand he's trying to rationalize it, and it's a lot of time.
Because she doesn't make enough, and they stay here, they balance it out. So it's just
I don't care how you try to explain it. If you're not in the right situation, you get the hell out. You don't stay an extra minute, period.
Yeah.
Throwing away sections of your life that you never get back. And the truth is, she left you. If you hadn't done this, if this hadn't happened with her leaving you, you were never going to leave her. And that's crazy.
I wasn't. No.
That's sick.
I would never leave her. No.
You need to see a therapist, my friend.
You know what? I already am.
Okay, I'm really glad. I hope you find a way to work this out.
You need to see someone.
Convince your therapist how right you are.
Yeah. My God. They don't seem to go that way. But anyways. It's difficult. It really is.
I'm really sorry, dude. I hate to see it happening to you like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. But anyways, you kind of hit the nail on the head tonight, so I just had to call in and
thanks.
And just let everybody know that Tom, you're kind of right. I probably should have got out sooner, but you just hang in there, man. You just keep hoping something will change.
I don't agree that you just hang in there. I was divorced 4 times. And every time I could see it was going off a cliff, I got out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 31 years or 30 years marriage is a long time to throw away. If you were hitting yourself in the head with a ball peen hammer
for 30 years, you should have got to stop doing that, too.
That's the one, the ball peen hammer.
Well, I can't go back. All I can do is go forward, and life looking forward is kind of shits, too. So, guys, I don't know. Don't get friggin' hitched up, I tell you. I just don't know what else to say. It's just not worth it. You think I'm going to get remarried? No bloody way. No way.
Uh-uh. I'm glad you decided that, at least.
No, that's just not worth it.
Not recommended.
Oh, my. All right, Mark, thank you. We got one more here
Adam.
This is Sean in Seattle, huh?
Jesus.
What?
Poor guy.
Did it to himself.
I know. Women
hit himself in the head with the hammer for 31 years.
Women fuck it around so much that you don't even know what you're doing anymore.
Only if you let them.
Okay. Did you hear him explaining it to us every time? I know, but
you got out every time.
Tom, you're stronger, obviously. Come on.
Yeah, but the guys have to realize that this is not about love. This is a business arrangement. This is two people forming a corporation to split expenses, to split the proceeds, and to have children and have legal responsibility for them. This has nothing to do with love. It is a business proposition.
Right. And did you hear him explaining how it really was his fault and he couldn't leave and he shouldn't have left? And it's like she twisted his reality and gaslamped him to the point that he doesn't even know what the hell's going on anymore.
Well, again.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't want guys to be him. And I know there's other guys like him, and I don't want them to be like him. If you're not happy, today is the day to leave. Today.
Amen to that.
Not years from now. By the way, even for the benefit of your practice, Adam, you don't want people staying around for 31 years. If they're not happy, you want them out.
My practice is just fine. Don't
worry.
The
guy is quoting Johnny Taylor for legal advice.
I understand. He is right. There is a masculine thing to want to protect your family and to stay. But, I mean, There has to be some rational thinking, too. And if you know you're not in love...
But he said it's cheaper to keep her.
I know, but he...
That is like, I won't come in your mouth. That's one of the biggest lies ever perpetrated.
But he's saying that if she hadn't left, he'd still be with her, Tom.
I know. I heard it. I heard every word.
Okay.
So. I was in pain.
Yes, likewise. I'm in pain right now. We have one more, Tom?
Sean in Seattle. You're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Hey, Sean.
Great.
I got a question for you. Hey, Tom, or Adam.
Sure.
I've been married 18 years. I got daughter that's 15, and I was looking to get divorced, and I got a couple people telling me that I'm going to be paying alimony, a couple people telling me I'm not.
Well, it's a possibility. What's the parameters in terms of the two of you? Are you working? Is she working?
Well, see, I'm working, but she was working, got hurt on a job. Now she's off of what they consider L&I over here.
Oh, God.
And supposedly she's looking for work. Oh. I moved out like 5 years ago. I couldn't
Jesus.
Fucking take it anymore.
So you haven't been with her for five years?
No.
And you just never took care of the legal stuff?
I just know because at the time 5 years ago when I left, I was actually unemployed at the time.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just like, shit, what do I do, I don't want to get nailed for child support and not be able to pay it, so I'm like, well, so now obviously I've been working the past,
Well, I'm glad you're back on the horse and everything, but, if you heard the previous, before the last one, the one before that caller, you can't just leave these things open. I mean, you're married to her. That's a legal responsibility. Even if you're separated,
right?
You're leaving yourself up to a lot of liability, and she might be handicapped or disabled or something.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I kind of her father was freaking dying, and he asked me, prior to his death, that if I would make sure that she re-upped her residency because she's from another country.
What?
She's from South America, so I was like, okay, no problem, I'll do that.
So what? You got her a green card?
Oh yeah, but just her residency, yeah.
Because her dying father asked you to?
Well, the problem was she already had it, but she needed to renew it. And if I filed for divorce, which he knew I was going to, it would complicate it.
Okay,
I was like, okay, fine.
I hate to tell you, but that's not really how it works. When you have a permanent residency, it's permanent. It doesn't have to be re-upped.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Had to do it. They had to.
Okay.
It's a every like 7 years or 10 years they have to go refile again.
Not really. But anyway, whatever.
That's what I was.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I don't know who your lawyer was, but the bottom line is by getting involved in her green card, you could be taking on even more financial responsibility for her. And if she's disabled now and she starts collecting all kinds of government benefits, you could be expected to pay them back.
Not disabled. She just got hurt and on the job. They rehabilitated her.
Right.
Now they actually closed out her case and said she's able to go back to work.
But she's not.
But
she
hasn't, you're right. She's
she hasn't
not
worked
working
in
right
years.
Now. And in about 1 year is when she got hurt.
Okay. Do you understand that you're in a legal mess and you have to start dealing with it? Don't you understand?
Yeah.
You can't just leave this to chance for 5 years. That you never filed for a divorce, you never took care of separating from her. I mean, you don't want to get back with her, right?
No.
So why piss around 5 years like this?
The money thing, not having enough money to do it,
stuff,
just a lot of things were coming up.
All right, well, I always talk to people, they have
like
plenty of money, they have plenty of money for their cars, and for things they want to buy and gadgets, and they're not taking care of business, okay? And being married to someone is a big deal. You have legal responsibilities. You have legal connection. You can't just leave that flapping out in the wind. And if you haven't been with her in years and years, you're not going to go back with her. You have a child together.
Correct.
She's got all kinds of liabilities and responsibilities, or she's not working or whatever. You can't be on the hook for her BS. You need to file a divorce and be done with her. And if you don't know that, you've got some kind of mental block or a religious reason you don't want to divorce her or whatever, you got to work that out. But you can't just leave it for years and years like this.
Right. No, I definitely want to get divorced.
Oh,
that,
really?
That ain't the issue. The issue was just the money, and
yeah.
then, you know, that was pretty much it. But I got the money now, but I'm getting misinformation from different people saying
well,
that
the only person that you get legal advice from is a lawyer, okay? So
right.
if you're chit-chatting with your friends
that's
that have different opinions.
To you.
No, I understand, but when a
right.
guy like me, you know, a guy like you calls me and tells me I haven't done it in 5 years, I know you're probably never going to do it, okay? It's crazy. And you've got to figure out what's holding you back. Maybe it's guilt or responsibility or who knows what. But whatever it is, it's mixed up, and you got to stop it, okay? You've got to make up
mm-hmm.
your decision that you want to move on with your life. Maybe you want to have new relationships. You want to move to a different place. You want to progress in your career. You can't have this cunt around your neck dragging you down. Don't you understand?
Correct. No,
okay.
absolutely. I mean, I got the papers to, you know, I went down to the court.
No, that's
paid,
no, nobody's going down to the court.
40.
Uh-uh. You're not sitting there and filling out the papers with a pencil and hoping to get divorced, okay? You need to hire an attorney
right.
and make sure it gets done, okay? A lot
mm-hmm.
of people tell me this, that for the past 6 years or 5 years, they've been going to the court and they got some of the papers and they're starting to fill them out, okay? This isn't an adventure and a journey and a project. This is something that you hire an attorney and you hammer it and you get it done, okay? And you get on with your life,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you have to want to get on with your life. If you want to stretch
no,
this,
absolutely.
Yeah, but you can call me now in
no.
another 5 years and tell me, you know, I haven't seen her in 10 years, and I'm still going to take care of it someday, and I picked up the papers. This is nonsense. You've got to make up your mind to take care of it and get it taken care of. Very important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't forget.
Well, what are the legalities of me paying alimony? Is it possible?
I think that it's the least of your problems if you don't take care of this. Okay?
Right.
That's the bottom line. You've got to
okay.
decide that you want to move on. I mean, if you go on a date with a woman now, you tell her you're married? I mean, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
No, and absolutely.
What do you,
absolutely.
You know how
yeah,
harmful
I mean,
it is for your child who's 15 years old that you haven't been with her mother in 5 years and you're still married and her mother's sick and all this BS? Are you kidding me? Come on. You've got to give some conclusion and finality and stability to these people, including yourself. Okay? It's not right what
uh-huh.
you're doing. You've got to conclude it. And just to chit-chat with different people, this one told you yes, this one told you no, it's nonsense, okay? You got to get a handle on your
uh-huh,
life
right.
and be in charge of your own life and not just have life wash over you. It's ridiculous. Come on. Pull yourself together
okay.
and decide to do it and do it.
Well, it's going to get done. That's
okay.
for sure.
Glad to hear
all
it.
All right, Adam, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank
all
you
right,
so much.
Now, by the way, hang on, because I'm going to put you on hold, and perhaps I will get you in touch with Adam, and who knows what will happen.
No, that's another so, heartbreak, Tom. There you go.
it seems like one after another here.
So,
of course, we are right after the holidays.
No, it's very typical.
This is the biggest week for filing divorces.
I understand, but he's not filing. These guys aren't filing. These are guys that are waiting 5 years since the wife left them. Okay?
Right.
He's
right.
telling
but it's
me.
Time at least he's. They're thinking. Look, in the case of the previous caller, his wife, she was thinking about it and she made a move. This guy at least made the phone call this week because this is when people are thinking about it.
The problem is that if he has sat on it for 5 years, it's going to be very easy for him to sit on it another 5. Okay? And that's crazy. Why would you want to stay anchored to a woman that's somehow still your wife legally, and yet you never see her and you're not together, and God knows what the hell she's doing and what responsibilities you could have, and he's helping her finish her green card, and it's like, you got to be out of your mind. You got to be out of your mind.
Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Call me toll-free, 800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, there you go. You know, Adam, of course, does this bonus hour with us every Tuesday. So if you missed any portion of the show, don't worry. Another Adam Sachs bonus hour is coming up. It's Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Those motherfuckers.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
better believe it.
Beer Magazine, new study involving many companies finds that diversity policies don't help women or minorities after all.
Right, and they make white men feel threatened, yes. Which just makes the thing a whole lot worse.
So they really don't benefit anybody.
Nope. And this here is published in the Harvard Business Review.
Oh, is that all?
So it's some serious business. So if you try to diversify and you think that's going to help out your your programs and policies, it's not. It's going to actually make things a whole lot worse.
It's what they call a longitudinal study of over 700 U.S. companies, and it found that implementing diversity training programs has little positive effect and even may decrease representation of black women.
So there you go. If you try to force this stuff, it's not going to work.
Okay.
And I'll tell you right now, people need to start paying attention to this study because you're just going to create a backlash, which apparently it is doing.
Millions of dollars are spent on this by U.S. companies every year just to make sure that their workforce is diverse. It turns out they're not helping anybody at all. Dummies.
Right. Our friends at Walmart in 2011 successfully used the presence of its anti-discrimination policy to defend itself against allegations of gender discrimination. And Walmart isn't alone. The diversity defense often succeeds, making organizations less accountable for discriminatory practices. So mm-hmm. There you go.
Right. Bingo. Richard Carnes, who's the head of Brighton College, is making an argument that single-sex schools put girls at a huge disadvantage. Apparently, they get some great grades and everything else, but it turns out they got no idea how to interact with dudes.
Yeah, so there you go. You can put them with all chicks, and then when they come out, they get confused.
Right. Academically, they're brilliant. But, they're going to be sitting there by themselves for the rest of their lives with their cats. And reading novels.
Right. Our poor girls-only schools make them suffer that degree of emotional intensity, which leads to bullying. Mm-hmm. All boys' schools tend to create artificial hierarchies where only those in the rugby team are truly valued. So,
what a weird thing, right?
Well, this is what our friends over the pond got to do.
But we do it here. There's lots of Catholic schools that do the same thing.
But they're always right next to every Notre Dame. There's a St. Mary's.
Yeah, but you're not interacting with the broads the way that you normally would, on your way to class or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Homeroom.
It is nicer to see chicks in the hallway.
Sure it is. You kidding me?
Make you look forward to some of the classes that you hate.
Just as they're developing?
Yeah. And that's when it's legal.
Right.
I has legal.
Right. I mean, I don't know how people survive any other way. Seeing just dudes. Weird thing. There was a video online of a naked man caught on a freeway in Las Vegas. I don't know if you saw this. Dude, totally naked in broad daylight. Apparently there was some weird accident, and our friend was clearly on something. Some chick took a video of him, posted it.
I just want to clear this up. This is not Mike Myers.
It's not Michael Myers. Queers for Gears.
It isn't.
From a distance,
it could be, and the naked part could be. But I can confirm that our friend was not in the area, and I had talked to him earlier in the day. Our girl, Erin Taylor, who took the video, has been asked to take it down by the man. Whose brother claims to be the brother, saying that you got to take it down. So it's definitely not Mike Myers. But our friend basically is runned around naked.
Iron Man goo.
100% runs around naked. And this, we normally find out, is due to something like flocka or some
spice.
Sort of spice. Something,
Gerbil.
Something synthetic.
Gerbil.
That probably too.
That eventually makes you want to tear your clothes off because you're going so nuts.
Yeah.
I've lost my tolerance.
Miller Lite also has that effect.
Yeah.
By the suitcase.
Yeah.
30-pack.
What's going on with this Brian Urlacher infomercial?
This is crazy. What? Anybody that knows Urlacher, of course, from the Chicago Bears, our friend has been bald his whole life.
Yeah.
Now there's this infomercial, and it has to do with the regrowth of hair and hair restoration, and now Brian Urlacher... It can be seen on TV with a full damn head of hair.
Hey, by the way, it doesn't really look like a rug either.
No, it's not.
I mean, at least in the picture I'm looking at.
Now, I don't know how good this Restore company is. We got to talk to the bald dude who talks about that all the time. Not Paul, but a guy that has an infomercial about all that stuff.
Right.
Find out if this is a good thing. But I got to tell you, Urlacher looks unbelievable. It's weird to see Urlacher with hair. You will start seeing these infomercials now. It's beginning now.
Yeah. No, it's not like, what's his face, Jason Alexander, who, was shilling a wig for a while, right?
No.
He's done with that. Now he's back to being bald.
I'm going to guess the sides are his, and then they take a strip insertion, and they take his own hair and put it on the top of his head.
Really?
It probably costs a lot of money, but for those who are bald and can't deal... aside from Paul, who gets chicks no matter what, this is probably something that's crazy, dude. Crazy.
Right.
Just to see Urlacher with hair is crazy.
I know. It's nuts.
He hasn't had hair since college.
It looks pretty natural.
It is. It's unbelievable.
But he's got the dough to do it, I guess.
He does. Huh? Believe me, he has a glorious head of hair.
Glorious.
It is no cheap thing. I can assure
glorious.
You.
All right. Finally, a pig alert for you. It's Charlize Theron naked, but you really don't get to see all that much. She's 40 years old now. She's in W Magazine, and she's completely nude on a bed. She's covering her titties, and most everything else is covered. But she's not. She got a blanket wrapped around her or a sheet, whatever. So you don't really get to see all that much. But she is goddamn hot for 40 years old, let me tell you.
Dude, I'd love to see the
Sean
people.
Sean Penn walked away from that?
Yeah, but he walks in other stuff. I get it.
Mm. Other people in the magazine, Amy Schumer, who has her clothes on, but you see cleavage. She got plenty of that, plus plenty more elsewhere as well.
Exactly. Our girl Jane Fonda also makes an appearance, too. Not bad for being 91.
Jane Fonda, yeah.
Yeah. So, 91 years old is pretty good.
Plenty more newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
I has legal.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. Just go to GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
And I don't want to do your dirty work. Oh, no. Okay.